want to talk for a minute about amassing treasures. So I'll define those treasures, something that's highly valued, and to amass things is to gather it up over time. So I would love your help. What treasures do people amass or do people want to amass? What are things that, valuable things, people want to gather up more and more of it? What are some things? Money, yes, yeah. Gold, yeah. Gee. Memories, good, good. What else might people want to amass or build up? What was that? Rocks, yeah, that's good, especially precious rocks maybe, but some of us, different varieties. Good. What else do people might want to amass? Education, certainly. Yeah, who hasn't met a degree they didn't like, right? More and more education. Good. What else? Friends. Excellent. What was that? Life. Yeah, good. Good. Is it good or bad to amass treasure? Friends? Yeah, that sometimes it's a good thing, maybe friends and relationships, and sometimes it's more problematic. I want to think for a few minutes about what Jesus taught. And he taught that sometimes it's a valuable thing to amass treasures, and other times not. And we want him to be the teacher today. So let's pray and ask him to speak. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the time to be together. We thank you for the encouragement of your presence with us as we worship and declare your glory. And we thank you for hearing testimony of your work in our lives. Father, we pray that in this time you would continue to speak. Help us have hearts that are open, ready to hear. We hear your voice, your word. Please, by your Spirit, speak this morning and do a good work. Bring the change you want to bring. Bring the encouragement you want to bring this morning. We ask you to speak because we as your servants are trying to listen. So open our hearts. Help us to hear. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. So the title today is Amassing Treasures. We're in Matthew 6 and we're going to talk about this drawing in a little bit. You'll want to have a Bible. And so some people are bringing Bibles up the row. It should be marked where the passage is. I want to just say that we've been in this past spring into the summer, we were going through Acts, and next week we'll begin again looking at Acts. Today is a celebration of Lord's Supper, and as we celebrate Lord's Supper, we have a pattern of looking at different aspects of the gospel, and the sixth part of that pattern is looking at heaven. And so today we are giving some thought to Jesus' teaching about treasure in heaven. So in Matthew 6, let me just say this, that Matthew 6 is right in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. There are three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is perhaps one of the most famous sermons ever preached. It started with these words Matthew recorded. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach to them. And this starts an amazing message that he gave to the crowds. And I think he taught his children, this is what it should look like. This is what the children of God should be. They should act in this way. This is what it should be like. One of the things that the Sermon on the Mount is famous for is impossibly high standards. And this makes people wonder, was he serious? Right? And so, for example, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. And people say, really? Is that a good idea? Does he actually mean that? Or to take another one, Jesus said, lust in your heart without any action is adultery. Really? I mean, can he be serious about this? To say fool to your brother is the equivalent of murder. And people think, really? This is too hard. Jesus wasn't serious about this, right? There's just, it must be something that's metaphorical. It's something different. He gives these standards that are just impossibly hard. And yet, on the other hand, these are good things, right? What he describes is good and right, and he says these are expected. This is how you are to live. We think, that's pretty hard. Maybe we ought to soften it a little bit, right? Sometimes, though, lowering the standards is a bad idea. Right? Sometimes we say, oh, nobody's going to reach that standard in this class. Let's reduce the standards a little bit, right? So that then people, we at least have some people passing. Well, sometimes that's okay, but you know, if it comes to brain surgery, I think let's keep the standards high, right? Let's make sure this is really, right? People are really doing this right and well. And Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of God is like that. It's really critical that you do this right, that you do this well. He's not saying, oh, when it comes to the kingdom of God, any effort will do. He says, no, this is what is expected. This is how we're to live. We really are to love our enemies. We really are to wrestle with purity in our hearts. That's really the case. So, with standards so high, it's hard to live with them. Where's the hope? Right? I can't do all that. So where is the hope? How do we live with that? And I think Jesus in this section, just a couple of short verses, I think he says, let me give you some hope in the midst of what seems impossible to do. So we're in Matthew 6, verse 19. The heading I have in my Bible is Treasures in Heaven. We'll just walk through a couple of verses at a time. So Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So stop there for a second. He teaches, well, first of all, somebody tell me what vermin is. What's vermin? Rats, yeah. Yeah, what else? Vermin are wild animals that are pests. And I think this is a great translation in many ways, but you know, I don't use vermin very often. Not in the 500 most common words or whatever it might be. So he says, there's all sorts of things that destroy our earthly treasure. Right? The earthly treasures will always be lost or destroyed. And for them, most of their treasures were things that they held on to and kept in their home. Often it was clothing, but sometimes it was coins. Right? So what happens to the clothing? Well, you get moths or other creatures, the rats, the mice come in and they eat them. Or if it's gold, somebody comes and steals it. Right? And he says, earthly treasures will always be lost or destroyed. He says, heavenly treasure is secure. He says, you don't have any pests coming into heaven to eat up the treasures you have there. Nobody can steal them there, right? These vermin, these wild pests, he says this, natural and human forces destroy all earthly treasures. And it's an interesting question to think, so in their day, it was going to be moths and critters, and some of us face the critters in ways that are really troubling to us, but there are many other things that destroy our earthly treasures, right? Not too many years ago, a whole bunch of people had money in the stock market in the U.S., and they lost huge amounts of money because all of a sudden financial things took place, and all this money all of a sudden disappeared. In Jesus' day, they didn't understand something like that. But today, there are all sorts of things that say the treasures we have will go away. Jesus mentioned a couple that are real to them. But he does say, I'm convinced, he says, natural and human forces are going to destroy all earthly treasures. They're all going away. And so he says, be cautious about that. But he says, store up things in heaven because they last. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this description of heart really is the source of all of life. Everything about you flows from your heart, from the center of your being. Right? And so often I think who I am is a product of my circumstances. Well, in some ways, but in a deeper way, how I deal with my circumstances flows from my heart. My heart is the source of who I am, and this is how I deal with the world. And Jesus says, where your treasure, where your heart will be. So it's easy to see if your heart is on earthly treasure, you're going to be disappointed in great ways, guaranteed. Because if this is where your heart is, all of that treasure gets destroyed. And so he's saying that the secure, the insecure treasures, they affect the whole of life. And people in medicine will tell us that this affects our physical bodies, and it's true. It affects our relationships. It affects our emotional well-being. What happens with our hearts affects the whole of who we are, and the treasures that we have affect our heart, because our hearts are there. So Jesus says these earthly treasures are going to be lost and destroyed, and they ruin us. Heavenly treasures, he says, are secure forever, forever, and that's where you want your heart to be. So the next paragraph, verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus says this metaphor that I think is connected with the heart. Everything flows from our heart. He says, well, another way to think about your heart, it's the light that lights up your life, that lights up the entire being. And he says, if that light is dark, it floods you with darkness. If it's light, if it's healthy, it floods you with goodness. And now I have a footnote here. You may see something like this in your Bible, that the Greek word for healthy can also mean generous. Right, so a heart that is generous, he says, fills the being with light. And the word for unhealthy can also mean stingy. The word, a heart that is stingy, that says, I need more for me, says, is going to be filled with darkness. Right, so if he said, where our treasure is, our heart will be. Another way to put it is our hearts are changed by the location of our treasure. That if our treasure is in a place that decays and gets destroyed, this will fill our heart, our lives, with darkness. If our treasure is in a place where it's secure and protected forever, it will fill our hearts, our lives, with light. So Jesus says these good and these bad eyes, they fill the whole light today. So in the first part, he said, I want you to be thinking about heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure, because in the future something will happen. The earthly treasure gets destroyed. The heavenly treasure is protected. Here he says, it also affects today. Because if your heart is set on earthly treasure, he says it will fill your heart, your life with darkness. If your heart is set on future treasure, today it will fill your being with light. And so then verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't do it. You can't serve two masters. You can't balance heaven and earth is another way to say it. Okay, so let's see. Karen and Sarah, I asked for some help. Would you guys come on up here? All right. So actually, the task is for you guys. I've got something simple for them to do. But so you guys have a task. Yeah, stand right here. Karen, you stand right here. Sarah, good. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is keep your eyes on both of them. Okay? That's your task. Pretty easy. Okay, guys? Go ahead. How you doing? Look at that. Keep going. Keep your eyes on both of them, unless you're a salamander. Okay, Karen, come on back up here. Now, keep your eyes on both of them. You can come up this aisle now, Kieran. That's great. Excellent. Okay, you got your eyes on both of them? Keep your eyes focused on both of them. How are you doing? Great. Thank you. Sarah, you can come out now. Wonderful, guys. Thank you very much. How do you do on focusing on two things that are going a different direction? Unless you're a salamander, you can't do it. Right? We can't do it. And let me ask you another thing. When one of the two disappeared, where did your focus go? For a little while, you look for the one that's disappeared, but then you switch to the one you can see. Right? Heavenly treasure is always the one that's lost. Right? When we try to watch two things that are going separately, heavenly treasure is the one we'll stop following because it disappeared. And we're going to watch the one we can see. Jesus says, you can't do this. You can't balance it. You can't see both of them. You got to pick. And you know what? It's actually kind of challenging to watch the one that's out of view. We start to focus on what we can see. Jesus is teaching that a life focused on God in Christ is amassing guaranteed treasures in heaven. And it brings a being full of light today. Right? He says, this is what it's like when you focus on heavenly treasure. Your heart is flooding your being with light. You're amassing treasure that nothing can happen to it. And sadly, Jesus does say the opposite too. The life focused on treasure in this life is guaranteed for disappointment. And it brings darkness to the whole of life today. He says, this is the way it is. You've got to pick. And if you try to balance the two, it doesn't work. So here's the drawing. You can see a couple of escalators. And which direction is the man on? He's going up, right? Where are all the goodies? On the one going down, where's his heart? His heart's reaching across, right? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And there are wonderful things on the coming down part, wonderful things of money, of power, praise, of pleasure, even complacency that says, don't mess up my world. I'm enjoying it as it is. I don't want trouble with different ways to think, and that's too complex. Just let me have it a little bit easier. And these are things that our hearts say, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to live in a simple world? Oh, you know, we want so many things over there, and our hearts are drawn to it. Earthly treasures tempt us, yet they're guaranteed disappoint. All of those things, he says, are going down. They're all going down the escalator, and we know where they're going. They're going to decay. They'll get destroyed. And if you can feel the situation for this man reaching out across this open expanse, attempts to balance up and down result in falling down. We never fall up, right? When we try to pick the two of them, we don't accidentally end up focusing on heavenly treasure, right? When we try to balance the two, we always end up going down on the side where the things are falling. Jesus says a life focused on God and Christ, it's amassing guaranteed treasures in heaven and brings a being full of light today. Doing the opposite is guaranteed for disappointment, and it brings darkness to the whole life. So think about application of this for a second. Just this table I put up here to help in thinking about what's the action. Jesus says, repent or turn from earthly treasure. He says, if your heart is set on earthly treasure, this is bad news. And Jesus isn't saying this because he doesn't want us to have fun. He says this because he doesn't want us to be hurt. He says, don't focus on earthly treasure. Why? Because it's guaranteed to be lost. And because the pursuit of that darkens the whole being. God doesn't want that for us. What are the things that we want? So often we want money and we want things, right? So often we say, you know, I've got this option for a job or this, and boy, that one pays a lot more. Wow, that's kind of attractive. Or, you know what? I could hold to my integrity, or I could step into something that's a little bit questionable, but, you know, it sure would be helpful in terms of finances. I could be generous, but you know what? There's not that much for me, right? And so there are many times that we say my heart is drawn to the money, the things. Sometimes we are drawn to power. And this happens both for people who have it and people who don't. Power is very tempting to people. I don't want to give up power that I have. Or people say, I don't have power and, oh, I want it. It's not right that other people have it. I need to have it, right? It's a temptation to us. Or praise or success or self-fulfillment or self-justification. I want to be able to say I'm right. Or, you know, there's stuff that's pleasing. I'd like to do these things that I enjoy. Or, as I mentioned, complacency. It's too hard to think about these things. Let me just be calm and be pleasant. And we would prefer to have it be easier. Now, let me say this. I don't think anybody's tempted by everything on that list. But I'm convinced we're all tempted by something there or something like those things. And I've learned that when I'm not tempted by something, it looks so silly or downright foolish to think anybody would be tempted by that. But when I'm tempted, oh, does it look good, right? And so I found that other people's temptations, I think, how can you be so dumb to think that's a good way to go, right? And they look at me and think the same thing. And yet when I'm tempted, this is so real. This is what I want. I need it. This is where it is. Jesus says, be so cautious about these things because all of those things are guaranteed to disappoint. And pursuing those things fills us with darkness today. So in contrast, Jesus says, pursue heavenly treasures. Pursue heavenly treasures. Now, there's a couple of things that go through my mind that say, really? So, a ceiling effect. So what happens in a pass-fail class? You pass or you fail. And what do you have to do to pass a pass-fail class? I mean, it's, yeah, something minimal, right? So you pass the class, maybe you get, you know, your, the, what's that? That's right, some small threshold. So here's the question. Why try for a perfect grade in a pass-fail class, right? I mean, we've all got limited time. Why do you try and outdo the system when you've already passed? There's nothing more to be gained. Well, those great students out there, I know there's some of you, and you're going to ace everything. But for many of us, we say, you know what? I've got limited time. I've already got what I need. So if we're guaranteed the riches of heaven, why do more? I've thought of it this way. I think, you know what? As soon as we pass the threshold, it's pass-fail class. You pass, you get everything. You fail, you get nothing. So let's just make sure that we pass this class, right? At Jesus, it seems that we're guaranteed all these riches, right? It does sound like a pass-fail class. And yet, Jesus commanded that we pursue heavenly treasure. He said, set your heart on those things. Pursue heavenly treasure. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, right? There's something more he's talking about here other than just getting in the door. There's something more that he says. Right? God promises additional heavenly rewards. Like he says, each will receive his wages according to his labor. And one part of me says, oh, no, that can't be true because it's a pass-fail class. We all get the same thing when we walk in the door of heaven. But Jesus says, pursue these heavenly treasures. He says, you're going to receive wages according to your labor. He says, rejoice when you're persecuted because there's a great reward for people who are persecuted. There's a great reward for that. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying we need to earn our way into heaven. But given the entrance to heaven, Jesus says, I've got some good things I want for you. I want you to set your heart on pursuing these things. So isn't that selfish? Right? Doesn't this sound kind of selfish to say, I'd kind of like to have more for me in heaven? Well, I think there's some ways that we get things that is broadly shared, like the joy of marriage or beautiful art. This is a blessing that is shared. Right? So it's not that I get something if I get any reward that you don't get, or you get something that I don't get. What you get, I delight in too. Right? It's not I get it so you don't. It's that we, just like in a marriage, we say we step into a marriage and there's a beautiful joy happening here. It's shared. It's not one versus the other. Rather, how tragic if we're not interested in heavenly treasure that God wants to give us. How tragic we say, oh no, I'm fine. You got good stuff up there? No, that's okay. I'm just going to get in the door. It'll be okay. Pass, fail, we're fine. God says, pursue this stuff. I have good things for you. I want you to pursue these things. But, another objection in me, aren't our best deeds as filthy rags in God's eyes? Right? He's so holy, he looks at us and he thinks, oh, that's not very good. I can see that problem and that problem and that problem. Right? Well, I do want to say sin continues to touch every part of us and everything we do. And yet, Jesus said that the Spirit would empower us to do greater works than Jesus. The Spirit said, you know what? You're going to do some amazing stuff as I work in you. God rejoices in our growing godliness. Right? So the statement, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The Lord delights. He doesn't say, well, you know, he talks about fearing me, but I know about this other part in his life, and so maybe not. No, God delights when people fear him, when people put hope in his unfailing love. Right? So what does God delight in? When we love our enemies and pray for those who curse us. So here, I'm convinced of this. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a time when God's going to play some tapes from our lives. Okay, not tapes. He's going to play some MP4s or something, but he's going to play back some things in our lives. And he's going to call people over and say, you got to see this. Look at this time when she loved her enemies and it was so painful. And he's going to say, it's so good. You've got to see this. He's going to play it back and he's going to say, watch the time when this guy was struggling for holiness. In the privacy, nobody knew what was going on. He was fighting for holiness. God says, I love that. You got to come and see this. And he's going to play over and over again all these things that people have done. Because God delights to see these things. And it's not like we're saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get God to give me more gifts. No, God loves this stuff. And he's going to delight when we do them, when we fight for holiness. Right? when we generously give to those who can't repay, and it hurts us to do it, he says, I love that stuff. I'm going to play those reruns over and over again because I want you to know, God says, I delight in that. So what might these treasures be? Well, I think the first one is that, the delight of God in us. God will say, well done. He will look at things that we have done to say, I want to do this to honor you, God, and it's hard, and I don't feel like it, but okay, I really want to do this to please you. And he's going to say, well done. He delights in that. And so in this sense, I am fully convinced that when we get to heaven, God will see us, and he'll look over these things and say, I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting to give you a hug and say, well done. Right? The delight of God. And in this, his pleasure is our pleasure. It's deeply intertwined. We want his pleasure, but in our relationship with God, his pleasure is ours. We delight together, just like in a good marriage. Another thing that God will do, a wonderful treasure, is he's going to give us wonderful work that is a delight to us and others. Work isn't a curse. Work is wonderful when we do the things, as Duncan and Allie expressed, when we find the way in which God has made us and we're able to do that for his glory, for people's good. God's going to give that to us. And so in one of his parables, Jesus said, because you've been trustworthy, take charge of 10 cities. He says, you know what? You love to work with your hands. I'm going to give you a workshop full of stuff to do. You love to make music or art. I'm going to give you a wonderful place to do that and people to delight in it. You like to teach, to administer, you all these different things. He says, I'm going to give you good work to do. And he says, when you're faithful here, I'm going to give you access to wonderful things to do there that'll be great for people. And so this one, I'm stepping out there a little bit more. Maybe we have a God who just loves to give delightful gifts. And I changed the word delightful just to highlight these are gifts to delight in. Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven? And I'm convinced that some of what we do there, it will just be gifts of love from God or Father to people who've struggled to follow him. He says, I love to give good gifts. When you say that's what you want, when you pursue that. Right? So I am convinced. Jesus says, joyfully pursue this heavenly treasure. That is there for you. I want you to have that. It's guaranteed. It's secure forever. He says it brings light to our life today. So what do we do? What are things that we do? We say, I'd like to please you, God. I'd like to do what you ask. I want to obey your commands. You say it, okay, I want to do it. Might be challenging today, but I'm convinced you delight in it. And I want to bring your pleasure and to enjoy that pleasure. Right? When we love our enemies, when we bless those who curse us, when we generously meet the needs of others, when we flee the traps of human praise. Right? For many of this, this is so challenging. Human praise is just so enticing. We say, oh, I really want that. And it starts our heart going down the wrong side of the escalator. Or to determinedly pursue godlikeness when it's a hard struggle. Jesus teaches a life focused on God and Christ is amassing guaranteed treasures in heaven and brings a being full of light today. And attempting to balance heavenly treasure and earthly treasure is impossible. The heavenly treasure is always the one that we lose. When you look at the picture again, I'd like you to think now about a heart that's focused at the top of the up escalator. And there are rewards. Jesus says, I want you to be thinking there are wonderful rewards. There's a delight there of God saying, it's so good to see you, right? Welcome home. And let's play the tapes of things that I saw in your life that are just so encouraging to me. He says, there's wonderful work for our joy and for others' good. And there are these delightful gifts from a generous Father. And all of that, he says, in addition to being filled with light today, a heart that is focused on that, he says, is going to be flooded. I think it's for this reason, of his presence today. And so I think it's for this reason that the Apostle Paul said, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And clearly he's not saying, don't think about what happens on earth. He says, think about what happens on earth as a means of stockpiling the treasure in heaven, right? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven by setting hearts and lives on Christ today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, It's an amazing thing that you delight in us. You are a father who loves to give good gifts to your children. Father, sometimes it's hard for us to actually believe that. Sometimes we think that nothing we do will ever be good enough for you. And Father, forgive us for thinking that your love is like that. We thank you, Father, that you are a God who delights in those who seek you, who struggle to follow, who struggle to love when it's hard, to be holy when it's hard. And yet, Father, you say you love that and you want us to know. You delight in it, and we will one day be able to fully experience that delight with you. So thank you, Father, for that great love. Father, free us from the temptation to chase after things that are certain to disappoint us and the darkness that brings. Show us how to pursue a life with you that brings light today and unspeakable joy for eternity. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.